Hey, it's Brian Hayes. So last year, my neighbor forgot to get their eaves cleaned. And let's just say the leak in their basement will make sure that doesn't happen again. Not going to happen to me, though. It's fall, and that means it's Jiffy time. Booking my eaves cleaning and yard cleanup took all of 30 seconds. It couldn't be easier. Thanks to Jiffy, I say bring it on fall. Download the Jiffy app or sign up at JiffyOnDemand.com with the code SPORTS for $25 off your first job. Jiffy, fast and reliable home maintenance.
Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We'll get into Canada-Morocco and their big match tomorrow. Get into that a little bit later this afternoon, later this hour. It's a double shot for the Toronto sports scene. You got the Raptors in New Orleans tonight and the Leafs at home against San Jose. And we haven't seen any updates on the starting lineup for the Raps, but if we see that between now and 7, we'll let you know. Darren Dreger coming up here in just a few moments. So we've teased this Jerry Jones radio interview a couple times because he does weekly hits on 105.3, the Fan, down in Dallas, right? And I think he's got a pretty decent rapport. I've heard the interviews before. Like, the guys who interview him, they obviously have him on all the time. He's like,
and I think he understands entertainment, where he likes to get spicy at times. He likes to say, watch your mouth or watch what
you're
talking
about. Get your damn act together,
yeah,
all of that.
Get your damn act together.
Get your damn act together.
So he gets it. Like, yeah, he gets the entertainment element of it.
Well, that's why this Odell Beckham Jr. stuff is so Jerry Jones. Like, I don't know if this guy can – how much he can play anymore, what he's got left. He's coming
especially after what just happened to the guy. A lot of executives would say, I'm not bringing that guy in.
Right.
I don't know where the headspace is. That's got, who was the guy that went from Oakland to Tampa and was all kinds of problems?
Oh, Antonio Brown.
This is kind of seeming a little bit Antonio Brownish, and I don't want any future problems. That's what some execs would say.
It's a red flag. We're in the plane, you know, and your lawyer's got to send
Regardless of what happened,
we don't know exactly what happened, but it seemed a little bit fishy that, you know, really there was a flight attendant that had to cancel everyone else's plans because of you were sleeping. I think something was up. Find that hard to believe. And a red flag for some, but not for Jones. And because they're in Dallas, but it's about Hollywood, and it's about the Cowboys getting pub and getting attention. And if you get Beckham Jr., that counts for something. Signing him counts for something. Whether or not he helps you actually win might be a different story. Now, he's a great talent, and he's a free get. So I understand why teams are in pursuit of him, of course. But when it comes to Jerry Jones, it's always a little bit of a different slant. So anyway, he was on 105.3 in Dallas yesterday, and this is what ended up happening to him.
He's got a good chance to be joining us here real soon. Excuse me.
You all right?
Yep.
It's the Lindy cough. Dregs.
To get me some oxygen. Better still, how about a big shot of Jack? We'll be the
I don't think he's kidding either.
No, he's probably not. It's probably 7:30 in the morning.
Awesome.
Yeah, like, he was dying. And you mentioned the Lindy Ruff. Do you guys want to hear the Lindy? We haven't heard.
Yes.
This is what happened to us with Lindy Ruff years ago when he was down in Dallas.
Yeah.
He was the head coach of the Stars. And this was our interaction with Lindy Ruff. Or maybe not.
It's not close.
JP.
Yeah,
we had it.
Why not? Wait, it was
right
a perfect
there
setup, and
I just think. But was it Lindy though? Wasn't it in the middle of the summer or at the end of the season? I feel like he was sitting out on the deck.
I think he was. Like, he was outside. It was. I don't remember the timeline. I don't remember. I would assume there was some connection to the Leafs and the Stars. You know,
right,
and that's why we played Lindy Ruff.
Lindy was literally having a cigar.
Yeah, but I think he choked on a cigar when he was talking to
him. I don't know if he's Gar guy, but I think there was some kind of cigar scenario involved there.
Yes. Well, if we ever get the chance to play it, we'll play it. I don't know what the – can we give it a shot? All right, here we go. JP, let's roll it. Let's see if we can actually hear
it.
Lindy Ruff back in the day with us.
And then was able to push through and provide some offense for us.
You're right there, Lindy.
Yeah, I'm all right, sorry.
Oh, my God. Let me hear the cough part again.
One more time.
It's like he had the biggest cigar.
It was like, listening to that again, it's like his whole body, like, disintegrated. It was just, it was like an explosion. Lindy disintegrated.
Yeah. There it is. I don't know why we played that clip. Like, that was like the aftermath of us playing it again.
I love that, though. Did you see it? Like, the three of us in there? I don't know why my hair is so short.
Yeah.
Go back to that clip. Like, if we could break it down. I'm wearing a T-shirt. First and foremost, are we on TV? I didn't think we were on TV.
This would have been, I don't know if we were over. We were in the afternoon.
O's wearing a suit, and Hayes, you got a nice button down. I'm wearing a T-shirt. I must have just got off the plane or something.
I don't know. That
and
would
I've
have
got
been,
it high and tight. That's a bad hair.
The old studio, too. That's got to be
getting old,
6
fellas.
Years ago.
Yeah, it's getting old. We're all getting old when you can say that was 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a long reference. So anyway, Jerry Jones, had himself some troubles. But it's all good. He needed some oxygen, maybe a shot of Jack. And it sounds like Beckham Jr., that's where he's going.
You think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, everyone's reporting that it seems like a lock.
Will he help them, like flat out help them?
Well, if he can play. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. We're deep in the season. You know, can he get the playbook down? Does he connect with Dak?
Yeah.
He's a great talent, but I don't know what he's got left this year. How much of it is
above
not only
beyond,
this year, but next?
Above and beyond all that, Hayes, you just mentioned what the transaction of OBJ would mean to the Dallas Cowboys, the significance of it. I think it would mean something to Jerry Jones, too. Like, I think that's a message to his fan base that he cares, and that type of transaction is something that he would be completely
into. I agree. I totally agree. I think that's what it is. It's about Jones.
Right.
Almost as much as it is about Beckham. Here's Darren Dreger, our TSN hockey insider. What's happening, Dregs? How are we doing over there?
You know what? I'm feeling like this is a setup. I'm not going to lie. Couple of things. Number one, the coughing, right, from Lindy and from Jerry Jones. I mean, this is a clear setup with Noodles on overdrive tonight, that Ottawa Senators game.
Oh, I forgot about
and
that.
Oh, you had a meltdown again on the Sens game.
So bad. That was last year. And then, look, at full disclosure, I'm thinking to myself, I knew that this was going to be a TV segment, but I completely forgot. I just thought, you know what, I'm doing overdrive at 6:05. I'm going to do it on the phone. Here I am in my
T-shirt
from St. John, New Brunswick.
Who cares, man?
And
who
the
cares?
Memorial Cup. So
I love it.
This is in honor of going back 6 years ago when Noodles had that White Walls haircut and his boys medium T-shirt on.
Exactly. I love it. I forgot that, Dregs, about where you had like the, you did choke on a cigar. And I think, who was it? Was it Lindsay or who was
Lindsay.
Somebody had to, Lindsay had to come to me and I had to break down your video. I hadn't watched it. I wasn't paying attention. It was awesome. That's the good old day. Live TV.
But Noodles, when you saw him having a meltdown, did you not want to jump in and just like say,
I did. That's
like,
what I said.
Stop it.
But I think Mocker, wasn't it?
You were at home.
It was remote. Like, I was remote. Mocker, Jeff Mock was producing. He goes, Noodles, you got it.
Yeah, but the problem was, you know, you've all been in that place where it wasn't even a cough. It was like I had such a dry throat, and you guys have been around me enough, right? Like, when that starts to happen, there's no turning it around or clearing your throat and getting over it. And Jeff Mott wouldn't let, like, he kept me on camera for like 25 seconds, and I'm like, ah, blah, blah. Like, it was outrageous. It was so ridiculous. So,
That's where you need
I thought you were setting me up with Jerry Jones and Lindy. I thought you guys were setting me up.
Honestly, we're totally coincidental. It's our own stupidity. We've been teasing it all day, and we're like, well, we got to play it at some point. So I guess we'll just do it now. And we weren't thinking along those lines at all, but Jones, we'll see what happens with Beckham Jr. And do you have is there an owner in the NHL that you would consider the equivalent of a Jerry Jones? I mean, do we have crazy owners in the NHL? I can't recall.
Yeah.
I don't. Do we like that's a public figure that we follow closely? I don't know.
One just passed away recently.
Yeah, Eugene Melnick, of course. Mm-hmm. Crazy is a strong word, and I mean you mean that in a very delicate sense.
I mean, in
of
terms
course.
Of like Jones is out there, he's flamboyant, he's talking, he's wild, he's unpredictable, all that.
Jimmy Dolan with the New York Rangers, maybe. You know, Jeremy Jacobs has incredible power, the Jacobs family with the Boston Bruins, but they're not out there publicly and things like that. There aren't many owners. Well, the guy in Carolina, Tom Dundon, has been, he's been on that side of it. But again, he's kind of mellowed over the last few years.
Right. Yeah, he has.
Well, he's got a pretty good team.
Yeah, in Carolina, exactly. Yeah. Carolina's turned the corner. Well, Leafs Sharks tonight, and Samsonov's back. Like, what do you see happening here with the tandem? If they're both healthy, what's your read on the situation, Dregs, Murray, and Samsonov, and how often each guy's going to play?
Yeah, I don't know that Sheldon has a full understanding of what that matrix or that schedule looks like. He knows that he can lean on Matt Murray. Matt Murray has proven, at least in that short window, that he can give him above-average goaltending. But there's also an advantage to having that two-goalie tandem and not stressing Matt Murray out too much and getting Ilya Samsonov back on line here. So if he can get him into a good place, Samsonov, that is, then isn't it a luxury to be able to bounce back and forth? You're not going to do that every game. I mean, you know, Toronto is, just because they're in a top five spot in the National Hockey League, doesn't mean that you're not trying to win every single game. So if Samsonov has a good run, maybe you lean to him for a couple or a few, and then you go back to Matt Murray. But it's, given the injuries, not just in Toronto, but around the National Hockey League and some of the sketchy goaltending that we've seen, just the pure idea of a two-goalie tandem that's legit, it seems like a luxury.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, how often do we talk about goaltending here on this show? Like, look what's going on in L.A. Look what happened in Seattle last night. Look at Bobrovsky getting shelled and the term he's got. And, you know, Shesterkin calling himself out. It does seem like there's a lot of goalie issues at this point. And, I mean, it really is a luxury. If you get two guys playing well and they're healthy, you got to ride that wave as long as you can.
Yeah,
I agree. That's the one thing, too, Dregs, where I wanted to go is, you know, the market right now, I mean, I would think that there's going to be some trades here at past the quarter of the season. Have you heard any type of, like, rumblings? And especially, I don't know, like, Cal Peterson on waivers out of nowhere. Like, I don't know if that's a knee-jerk reaction to how he hasn't, they're unhappy with him, but it just, something has to give here, and I don't even know if it's goaltending or if it's maybe defensemen. There's so many teams that are dying for defensemen right now.
Yeah, there are, and there are teams that are, you know, really in need of some sort of injection. And, you know, you look at what's going on with the New York Rangers. How does Chris Drury kind of fix that? You know that there's going to be pressure from above. And it's not just Shesterkin. He knows that he's not playing to his standard. They're not the same team that they were. They're a desperate team, though, going up against the Ottawa Senators, who've had a bump up in their last three games. But that Ottawa team is begging for reinforcements and some help. And you know what? You know, let's give the Maple Leafs a bit of credit here. We haven't seen Connor Timmins yet, so we don't really know if he's going to be a good add or a help to the blue line. But at least Dubas went out and got something. And they're screaming for something in Ottawa. And you can pick up other places around the National Hockey League. The problem is, you know, and it's always the same, it's salary cap. There are so many teams, like upwards of 18, I think, that are playing in long-term injury, and so many teams that are around $1 million or less within that salary cap. Well, how do you make trades that matter when you're up against it like that if it's not dollar in, dollar out? So for some of these clubs, I guess they just have to be patient.
With Darren Dreger, our TSN hockey insider, in terms of what's going on with Ovechkin, we've been talking about that a lot today, Dregs. What is your understanding of how the league is going to handle this moving forward as he keeps knocking down records, like the value that comes with it? Because Washington's going to make a fortune off this guy. They already have. But him chasing records, how much he'll be on national TV. Like, what more do you expect the NHL to do, if at all, when it comes to him scoring these goals and chasing Gretzky?
Yeah, look, from a pure hockey perspective, I mean, he is one of the faces of the game and has been for so many years because of everything that he's brought to the National Hockey League, and that includes his style of play and a personality that flows with it, too. I think the National Hockey League is in a real tough spot here, right? Because, you know, right or wrong, we want to get into current events, and we want to align Alex Ovechkin with Putin and the Russia-Ukraine war. And that's probably unfair to Alex Ovechkin. That's the history of relationships and whatnot. But we in society in the National Hockey League don't dive too deep into that. But there's no doubt that the NHL, at least to some degree, is impacted by it. I mean, World Cup of Hockey, we'd be talking about that. The league would be planning. So would the Players Association, the IIHF, and all the federations involved, if not for this conflict. They just couldn't move forward without Russia participating. And if Russia participates, then so many of the other federations in the World Cup wanted no part of it. So it's unfortunate, right? Because I watch Alex Ovechkin score those two goals last night, and I see a man in his 30s who loves the game like he's 9 years old, right? Just loves scoring goals and loves being with his teammates. You saw Peter Laviolette present him, you know, with the award after the game, all of that. Everyone in that room was having a great time. It's just unfortunate that the world events, which matter, by the way, in today's world, are kind of tarnishing what he's doing here.
Darren, I want to take you back to Ottawa. You just, when you were talking about their team, you said they were begging for reinforcements, basically relaying the idea that they needed some help. Why didn't they pull the trigger on some kind of defenseman? And I know there's the standard cliche, it's tough to make a hockey trade these days, et cetera, but it's like, you look at them, it's like, why not give them the best chance or a better chance and go get them a D when they needed one?
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent point, and I'm sure that you know, many around the organization have asked that question repeatedly over the tough times of the early goings of this regular season. I mean, you do have to acknowledge the positives, and we're not going to go down the list of the things that Pierre Dorion did, but he did a lot of good in bringing in some impactful pieces to that Sens roster, but he missed one key piece, and that was an experienced and a top four defenseman. And I think he probably felt like he'd be able to find it, maybe early in the season, or maybe the Jake Chychrun sweepstakes would come back a bit, where Billy Armstrong and the Arizona Coyotes would kind of lower the ask. And then Chychrun got hurt, and then there was a setback and all of those things. You know, and there was speculation, well, then maybe they can move Nikita Zaitsev to Vancouver for Tyler Myers. That didn't play itself out. So it's a good question to ask as to why they haven't brought in the reinforcements. I don't have an answer for you, but I'll tell you, Dorion, like so many other GMs, continues to look. But that defense, it's a little better now. They're getting healthier with Zub back and Chabot back. But that defense has cost them a number of games this year.
Dregs, there's some things that drag on just naturally in the NHL. But the Jacob Chychrun headline on any type of insider, like, it's just, like,
it's crazy.
It's turned it, like, it's embarrassing. Like, it's just, they're a terrible team. They've got a young asset who's a really good player on a great contract. And we're going on almost 2.5 years with this nonsense with this guy. Like, I don't even know if I want you to comment on it, because there's nothing to comment on, and it's making everybody sick listening to it.
Well, you know what? Oh, you're right. And it almost feels like we're doing the bidding of somebody when we talk about Jake Chychrun and the fact, well, Bill Armstrong hasn't lowered his price just yet. All right, well, we can appreciate why. We're all smart hockey guys. We get it. His contract is tremendous, right? And
but isn't the idea of just taking a really good offer and not asking for a certain, like, making just a quality trade where someone's always going to look at it and be skeptical and critique what you've done. But a quality trade that makes sense for your team, as opposed to holding on for dear life and dragging this on, it's ridiculous.
I get it, but that's what the teams that are most interested in Chychrun are hoping for, is that Armstrong finally says, okay, enough is enough. I mean, it's a distraction around this team. He's got a couple more years at a real good contract, so it's a tough one. It's a tough one. I think the ask is probably too high, but I guess there's no reason for Bill Armstrong to think outside of the business side of this process.
Well, Dregs, we'll leave it there. We'll catch you again soon. We always appreciate you doing this, buddy. And be well, We weren't trying to get you. We want to clarify that. We weren't trying to get you. That was just a coincidence. It was a coincidence like that it. That's what led in.
Hey, next time you see me, the old dead rat over the lip is going to be gone.
Yeah, it's a
I've
good look,
I've done
man.
My part for Movember.
Dude, you look like a cowboy like back in the day. You really
yeah, you do.
Do.
Yeah, you do. You look
I
like
think it's
I'm not sure
look.
That's a compliment, but I don't know. Thanks.
Father. It is. It's it like is. A good-looking old like Western movie guy that's just like...
Sam Elliott. You look like Sam Elliott. That's what you look like.
Holy jeez.
That's a good look.
Except,
No.
You look like a 50-year-old Sam Elliott.
Roadhouse.
That's what you look like.
I love it.
In Roadhouse when you're fighting your way out of the
bar.
Yes.
Ooh.
That's what...
Okay, now we're talking. Keep it going.
We're tire pumping here. All right, buddy. Thank you for this.
See you, fellas.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. One of many, of course, supporting Movember, support that we obviously have, and we appreciate him doing that and everyone else doing it. And I like that stash, though. I think that's actually a strong look for Dregs. I would roll that into the month of December and beyond. I'd take that one into 2023.
Would you?
Yeah. Like I think it's a good look. It's distinctive. It's got character.
A lot of people thought you should have stuck with the beard.
Yes.
My mom included.
Your mom? Yeah, a lot of mums. Seem to be very popular with mums.
And there you go.
Snow leopards. That was a snow leopard beard.
It
not
really
a cougar
was.
Beard, a snow
a
leopard
snow
beard.
A snow leopard beard, yes. That's like a jazz bar beard, right? That's very different type of vibe. It closes at 10.
That's an excuse me, sir, 50 or up only in here.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly what's happening with that beard. All right, Paul Dolan will join us, former Canadian national keeper and TSN analyst on Canada-Morocco tomorrow. We'll get to our best bets later this afternoon as well. We're tracking the Raptors in New Orleans, Leafs at home against San Jose tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Paul Dolan will join us here in a moment. Shout out to Mike Weir as well. I see Weirzy got the nod to be the captain for the President's Cup in 2024.
Let's give Weirzy a call on Friday. See what's up. See if we can be on the team as like caddies, whatever. We'll do something for Team Canada.
Something, right? It's at Royal Montreal in 2024. We got to get there, too. That'd be great.
Dude, how about us on the 18th tee behind the tee? And you know your boy. Who is your new fave? Who's on the internet? Tom Kim.
Yeah, Tom Kim will be there.
I do love Tom Kim. He's a lock to be on that President's Cup team forever.
Dude, no kidding. You know what's going to be dicey is the Canadians didn't play that well, and with Weirzy the captain, I'm sure he's going to feel somewhat obligated to select at least one. And who knows? Maybe it's Mackenzie Hughes.
Maybe
it's the kid that just won in Sea Island.
Yeah, you're right, because like Connors played himself in, so he was a lock anyway, but he didn't play well. And Pendrith,
didn't win a point. He didn't win a point.
No, and Pendrith, the same thing. Pendrith was, they gave him a shot. Like, that was a flyer, and it was really not good. It was really ugly. Like, the Canadians, it was really ugly. Now, that's in 2022. This is 2 years from now. Who knows where Connors is at, Hughes is at. You mentioned
I'm telling you, that's going to be a spicy meatball for Bobby Weeks to track. Like... He's gonna feel obligated to have a Canadian on that team. Hopefully, a couple qualify, so it takes the kind of the drama out of it. But when two of them were on the team and didn't get any points, it's in Canada. It's like you gotta have something. Weirzy at the same competition beat Tiger Woods in the final match. Tiger Woods.
Weirzy was a President's Cup legend. Yeah. That's why he's getting the nod. Now it's in Canada, but he deserves it. He's had an unbelievable career. And it's really, really cool. And I wonder if the LIV guys would be available by 2024 to play for the President's Cup.
That's a Jerry's percentage.
That is. Like, will Cam Smith be kicking around in 2024? You see, he was down in Australia this weekend.
He won
the DP World Tour or whatever, the Aussie Open. He cruised to a win.
And if you're Mike Weir, you're thinking, we've been getting dummied. And I don't know what Immelman's stance. I think he's a pretty, like... pro PGA Tour guy, but when you're getting dummied in a competition and you got a guy like Cam Smith, Mark Leishman that are just sitting there and you can't have them available to you, you're begging for something to be sorted out to kind of level the playing field a little bit.
Yes.
And I still think they'll get crushed by that USA team. That USA team is going to just go on a heater here. President's Cups, Ryder Cups in the next 7 or 8 years, and they are going to, like, rack up.
Dummy people.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's guys not making that team that would be, a, you know, the third or fourth best player on the Ryder Cup team, let alone the President's Cup team. Like, that's how good they are. That's how deep the Americans are right now. And, yeah, so we'll see. We'll talk to Weeksy about that at some point. Like, that's far into the future. Mm-hmm. But shout out to Mike Weir being anointed the captain of the President's Cup team for 2024. So there you go. He'll be putting in work, you know, between now and then for sure.
Big commitment.
Paul, yeah, go ahead.
No, it's a bit just a big commitment, that gig. Like, it's a lot of work in the next 2 years for Weirzy.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Paul Dolan will join us here in just a moment. Canada-Morocco tomorrow. I'm sure you guys have seen this news of Alphonso Davies and, you know, his media obligations and what he's supposed to do, you know, allegedly being determined by individual reporters who happen to be on the ground.
Haven't we seen him? Or are you talking about individual stuff? Like, hey, can I grab a word with you?
No, we're talking like a reporter's pool. You know, like going out and speaking to anyone that's available that's a reporter, which he's done. He did it a couple of days ago. I believe he did it yesterday. But he's been everywhere, man. Like, he's been everywhere. And the thing is, it feels like we've all forgotten collectively that he is so young. Like, he had a bad injury coming in. He battled through it. He's played. I think he's represented the country incredibly well.
Yep.
He's everything we want and need and have been hoping for forever. A star in Europe. And he's being pulled in every direction. And I feel like any gripe that you might have with the availability of Alphonso Davies, if you're a reporter on the scene in Qatar, I think you're directing your scorn to the wrong person. It's the PR team with Canada that you'd have to talk to.
Right. Like, and the idea I'm that torn with this. I'm torn with this, Hayes, because if this guy's on a platform in the media center, it's like, get your question out and get your information there. Oh, you want to have a little secret scrum on the side afterwards? This guy is Canada, the face of Canadian soccer, men's Canadian soccer, and he's been pulled in every direction. But I understand it both ways, where somebody's like, you know what, I want to talk to this guy. I want to get a little nugget here or there. And he's like, you know what, I'm pulled everywhere. I'm in front of the podium, ask the question, and I don't have time for this, so stuff it. I see both sides of it.
Yeah, but that's up to the PR people there to go. He talked 12 minutes here. Like, I know great PR people who literally keep track of how much these guys are available and how much they talk. So that when somebody complains, you go, oh, well, he did a scrum for 12 minutes yesterday and he did 8 minutes the day before. So if you got questions for him, I'm pretty sure he's accessible in the general scrum. But what it is there's people that think I'm from Canada, so I'm over here. I deserve, you know, 5 minutes of his time one-on-one. That's not the case.
I don't know if that's actually what is the complaint here. It's the general scrum with the reporters where I blame the PR, though, because why would Alphonso Davies, who was at his first World Cup, be thinking, man, I better make sure I go catch up with all the reporters? Like, it's not – why would it ever be on the front of his mind to do that?
And the backlash is the reporters go on Twitter and say, Alphonso Davies didn't speak to us again today.
Yeah, exactly. And then it becomes a story. And then I would guess Canada Soccer went to him and said, listen, we've dropped the ball here, because he's doing everything for TSN, for, like, he's all over the place on
I've
TSN.
I've seen him every day, man.
Else.
I'm like, when I saw, like, he's not talking to so-and-so, I'm
doing
like,
sit-downs and all that. But it's the beat reporters, it's the papers, it's the non-rights holders that want access to his time, which I can reason with why they would, of course. They're over there covering it, and he's the big boy. But I don't blame him, because I don't believe for a second it's his job to say, I have to get out there. It's the PR that has to make that determination and then sell him on the idea of it being an important scenario.
Well, you know what comes after that? It's a scathing piece that he's some prima donna after this, and Canada needs
better
leadership going.
Well, I certainly hope not.
No, so do I.
That'd be so stupid.
That would be a disgrace.
It would be absolutely disgraceful.
I'm just saying it's a possibility that gets floated.
I wouldn't be shocked. Here's former Canadian national keeper, TSN analyst, here's Paul Dolan on Overdrive. How you doing, Paul?
I'm pretty good, guys. How are you doing?
Doing well. So where do you stand on this story? Like the Alphonso Davies has a priority to the whole country and anyone that's covering this team to make sure that his time is always available. Where do you kind of stand on this Davies story?
Of all the people to try to have a poke at, Alphonso Davies, who has been the face of Canadian soccer, who's traveled all over Hell's Half Acre to represent his team, who's put himself in danger of injury, who has played for Bayern Munich, who obviously has gone to the Champions League, and he's sacrificed his club team performance to put himself out for Canada, and really has been the face. I think it's sour grapes. It's a little surprising as well, this article I've read as well, because apparently this is a good writer, right? So it's not as if he doesn't.
Yeah, you're referencing
the
CBC article that got a lot of traction online.
That's right. And my understanding is that he wasn't made available outside of the rights holders, but he has done so much above and beyond. I just think it's he's the wrong target to pick. Maybe the CSA could have made other players available, and of course you want to speak to Alphonso Davies, but it seems a bit harsh to me.
Paul, what do you think this Canadian team is taking home after this game tomorrow? I mean, it's obviously disappointment, but is it learning lessons? Is it experience? Is it disappointment? What, like, besides their luggage, what are they taking away from this?
I hope, actually, after tomorrow, it isn't disappointment because they win that game and they finish on a high. Now, obviously, not getting out of the group is going to be disappointing regardless of whether they win or not. But their performances have been good. Losing 4-1, that's a bad result. But the performance against Belgium, second-ranked team in the world, was excellent, really good. But in hindsight, you wonder, after the Croatia start, which was so good, and them not being able to kind of manage their way through that game once Croatia started turning the gears, that was the frustration, I think. But I think it's a, like you said there, it's a learning. You realize that, okay, you can come in full of vinegar, looking to get after everyone, looking to be aggressive, but sometimes you have to adjust your game plan based on the opposition. You can't just always be about, okay, we're better than everyone else, or we think that we can play our game plan and not have to adapt to what the other team is throwing at you. So that's probably the biggest lesson learned. I guess John Herdman has one or two lessons as well that he has rightly acknowledged about how to not wind up the opposition, quite frankly. And that's, I think, what happened with Croatia a little bit, albeit Croatia is such a strong side that I don't think it took that extra motivation. But it didn't help, did it? So
right, yeah.
There's a few learnings there, yeah. One other thing for me, sorry, is that, in my opinion, and this might be a small thing, all things told, but I think you should have a determined penalty kick taker rather than allowing the players to pick it. That's just something that I've always felt strongly about, is that you put it in the player's mind so they know ahead of the game. They don't have to worry about the pressure or the decision-making on the spot there. And I almost feel like Alphonso Davies kind of took that on himself, that pressure as well, and I don't know that that was a good thing because he's not the best penalty taker on the team. So that's another thing that, in the end, might have cost him that game against Belgium.
With Paul Dolan, our TSN analyst, Canada-Morocco tomorrow. John Herdman has obviously done a lot for soccer in this country, both on the women's and men's side. And once we wrap up tomorrow, you know, everyone will go their separate ways and we start looking towards 2026 when we know Canada will be back in the World Cup. And Herdman's saying all the right things about wanting to be a part of that, but it doesn't sound like it's 100% commitment. And I'm curious, Paul, if you think that it will in fact be the case, that Herdman will still be here in 26, or is there a chance that, you know, a different club, a different nation comes calling and he'll find that too enticing?
You kind of got that sense as well, huh, from the way he answered that question. I know John well. I was on the staff as the goalkeeper coach for a couple of years and know him quite well. And his answer in the end was excellent because it sounded committed to me. But I did get a sense that, and I do know too, that John loves a challenge, loves to take himself to that next level, I think would love to coach at the club level, probably back in England. But it's also about that opportunity and whether he's presented with that. But he's also started something that he wants to continue to build. And really, he's only halfway there. We're hosting a World Cup in 2026 with a group of players that he has helped cultivate this incredible culture and brotherhood that will be in their primes. Many of them, the best players, Alphonso Davies, Tejon Buchanan, Jonathan David, will all be in their prime. Ishmael Kone will be coming through at that time as well. So I think it's probably a project he'd like to see to fruition. But if there was a better opportunity in terms of day-to-day football club-wise, I don't know that he'd turn that down.
Well, you know, you talk about the projections of 2026, and I think Herdman will be at the front of that. Like, what happens? Where is he a part of it? And your position, Milan Borjan, he's not a young guy. Do you see Milan as the keeper of the future here into 26, or might there need to be some sort of a succession plan at some point?
There definitely will need to be a succession plan regardless, because you want to have stability and depth in that position. And I think the good news is that whether Milan's back or not, he's 35 now, that would be 39. You could say, oh, that's pretty old. Dino's off, if you remember, played for Italy in the World Cup at the age of 40. Atiba Hutchinson, an outfield player, is playing for Canada at the age of 39. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, especially players that keep themselves in pretty good shape these days. And he's an excellent goalkeeper, and I think wants to continue to earn a living in Red Star Belgrade, in the country where he's settled now, in Serbia. And I could see him possibly coming back, because he loves to play for Canada. But Maxime Crépeau is probably the goalkeeper that will be the starting goalkeeper in Canada at the 2026 World Cup, coming into his prime now at LAFC. He had that tragic injury in the MLS Cup final just before the World Cup tournament started. So he would be there. And then Dane St. Clair is an up-and-coming keeper as well at Minnesota United. So I think that would be the two keepers I would lean on. And then we'll see which other young keeper might break through onto the scene as well.
With Paul Dolan. So in terms of what we can expect tomorrow from Herdman, and, you know, who gets to play and how they approach it, because it's a big match for Morocco, big match for Belgium and Croatia. They're going at the same time. How do you see his attack, his formation, and who gets to play? You know, is there any chance that he decides to give someone a kick at the can that maybe wouldn't be playing if they were actually playing for something tomorrow? How do you see Herdman's strategy playing out tomorrow, considering they're out of the tournament and it's effectively a friendly at the World Cup?
I think the idea of playing younger players is okay in theory, because you're looking to get players World Cup experience for when we host in 2026. But really, it's the task at hand, winning the game tomorrow, getting a point tomorrow, a result that Canada's never gotten at the World Cup. So I really believe anything outside of putting your best 11 will be the only thing in John Herdman's mind. He'll just want to get the result. How best to do that will depend on the injury status of Stefan Eustachio and Atiba Hutchinson. I don't see that you can go with Atiba again, talking about his advanced age, after having been kind of run into the ground against Croatia through that midfield, where it was just the two of them, him and Eustachio, up against maybe the best midfield in the world, those three, led by Luka Modric. So I think we'll see an adjustment there. I think we might see a three-man midfield with the wide players. So a 3-5-2 possibly, with maybe Ishmael Kone getting a start. And Jonathan Osorio came in well, I thought, and performed at a good level. And I think he could start there as well. So is that Sami Piet in behind them if neither Eustachio or Hutchinson could go? I think that's a possibility as well.
Paul, you mentioned 2026, and clearly with nothing substantial to play for tomorrow, I don't think it's too early to look ahead. How different should expectations be going into that than this time around, where you talk to kind of just casual football fans and it would be like, man, I hope they can score a goal, possibly get a victory, tie? I mean, how far away from those expectations, or how much should they change going into the next one?
I might have been guilty of putting a little bit higher expectation level. A lot of people, I think, had high expectations because of the way that they smashed their way through the CONCACAF table and topped it at the end. And played well against Mexico and the United States, both home, where they won both those games against those teams.
You know what, Paul? Any person that I talked to at work, it was kind of their hopeful expectations was like shoulda, woulda, coulda, maybe hope. You know what I mean? It was like, I don't know, maybe these guys could do some damage. And then you could, after that, it turned into, but I hope they can get a goal. You know what I mean? It was kind of, I don't know how to describe the optimism, whether it was, I don't know what it was, but that was kind of the check.
It was, it felt like a forced, and obviously we saw it played out, Paul. I guess that was probably an appropriate approach.
No, you're right. I think it was a little bit of a false hope. Very tough group, but then again, you look across all the groups, they're all tough. And surprisingly, a couple of the so-called minnows have performed well. You know, Saudi Arabia gets a huge win over Argentina. Australia gets out of their group. Some of the smaller teams did well. And so it wasn't completely out of the question that a team on a high like Canada with good youthful attacking talent could cause an upset. And they almost did against Belgium. They almost did. Now, in hindsight, I wonder, is Belgium really that bad? Because they look poor in the next game against Morocco. But the expectation for me is, with these players coming into their prime and the pipeline of young players that's being produced now, and I think there's an aspirational effect as well, and it might be not 26 that this pays fruit, but maybe down the road. But I think a lot of young athletes now are inspired by this Canadian team, and you know, maybe they, if it's a 50-50 ball, they go to soccer instead of hockey or whatever. That's just an example of, I think that a lot of young Canadian athletes will want to play soccer. And I think that especially since going to 48 teams for the next World Cup, even beyond 26 when we host and get an automatic berth, Canada will never not qualify again for a World Cup. I really believe that. So the expectation level for me in a weird World Cup in 26, because remember it's 48 teams now and there's groups of three, and I'm not sure exactly if they've determined yet how they're going to work through those groups, but would be as a host country to get out of the group. And I think some of them felt that they could do that this go around. Obviously, they're not going to. But I think in 2026, based on the players alone and hosting, that we would have a good chance of getting out.
Yeah. Well, let's see what happens tomorrow, and maybe that also changes our view moving forward. Great stuff as always. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Okay, guys. Good to be on.
There's Paul Dolan, former national keeper for Canada and our TSN analyst as well. Canada-Morocco right here on TSN Radio on TSN-CTV. We'll come back with our best bets. We'll get Jerry McElroy in here. Maybe he's got some bets for us. All right? Maybe he's got a couple of bets that Nick wants to lay out.
He's on the ball, that cat.
He's on the ball. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams in the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Look who's in studio. Look at Nick in there. Look at our boy, Nick.
Wow. How's it going, boys?
Wow.
Pretty well.
Rick McElroy, what do you got for us, dude?
Oh, I got three really nice bets. Oh, I think you're going to like them. Okay, you ready?
Yes, let's go. What you got?
Raptors game tonight on the station. Siakam over 34.5 points, assists, rebounds. Too easy. He's hit it almost every game. -122. That's why it is -122. Of course.
I love that. Love that bet.
Marner over 1.5 points. He's coming in hot. Obviously, 17 game point streak. But I think this is a good game for him to get two. +120 on that line. I really like it. And how about this one? This is an interesting one. McDavid to score a goal, Oilers to win, is sitting at +250 tonight.
Really?
So I'm leaning that one for my third one, boys.
Yeah.
Ricky, you put a tie on and get your ass around the corner of that SportsCenter set. You do SportsCenter tonight because you are a star.
I'm in. Let's do it. Oh, can you talk them to them? I'll go right now.
Dude, they're watching you right now saying we've got a star in our hands. So just go around the corner and stay there the rest of the night.
Appreciate that, O. Thank you.
Be honest, Nick, when O was going to ask you to start the show, why we weren't on TV immediately, was your head going to explode? Did you soil yourself?
Well, even better, I was trying to set up the studio. And like I'm running around like a madman, and then I hear my name, I'm like, oh no. So I just put the headset on, and I was just going to say, honestly, O, I have no clue why we are not on TV right now.
Rick, I wasn't trying to be controversial. I just wanted to start. Some guys just sent me a tweet saying, why isn't Overdrive on one of the five TV channels?
Trust
so I'm
me.
Like,
hey,
who
I'm
better
producing.
To ask than Uncle Ricky McElroy?
I was producing. I wanted to.
Yes.
There you go. Hey, listen, you're wearing a lot of hats right now. You're doing great stuff with the World Cup. You've been stepping in here the last couple of days. We really appreciate that. JP, doing his thing behind the board. You guys have been keeping us on the air and looking good, feeling good, man. It's awesome. So
I appreciate that.
Those are the best bets. Yeah, man, for sure.
Good stuff.
Today's best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Do you think Canada can get a win tomorrow, Nick?
It's going to be tough, honestly.
Yeah, really tough.
Morocco's a very talented young team. I said it before. I honestly thought it was going to come down to Canada, Morocco for the second place in the group. I thought Belgium was going to win. They've been awful. Mm-hmm. So the fact that Canada is dead last is very upsetting because I figured they could get out with Morocco. Just not going to happen.
No, it's not. And Morocco's playing for something. They need a draw, right? They got to draw.
They need a point, yeah. Point gets them through.
Point gets them through. If they get a win, they'll win the group. So, like, they'll be motivated. That's the difference. Like, they're legitimately motivated to play.
Absolutely.
Yes, Canada wants history, but it's, you know, not the same as trying to get out of the group stage.
Exactly.
Rick, so, we never put the grappler on TV, but we want you on and more often.
Hey, anytime, boys. Anytime you want.
We love you, Ricky McIlroy.
Good stuff,
we love you.
Shout out to Nick. Shout out to JP, Joe from the Bridge, everyone behind the scenes. It's been a fun one today. Thank you for tuning in, watching, streaming, listening, wherever you happen to be. We always appreciate that. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
Ricky?
Oh!
4 p.m.
Yeah, you blew it. Yes! We'll chat then!